Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording now. So, Ayah 47. What Ayah 47 is about? It is when they are told to spend from what Allah has given them. What do they say? What is the most ridiculous answer that they will say? Think about the most ridiculous answer. If I ask you to pay zakat, charity. Huh? That's not ridiculous. That could be true. Huh?
Allah doesn't give me anything. I have to earn it.
Yeah. But you're told... Yeah, you're getting close. You're getting close. Is that you're told... You tell him, well, my money came by my hard work and I'm not going to give it for free. You can say that. But there is a more, you know, the most ridiculous answer. What could it be, the most ridiculous answer?
I spend all my money on Hamza, so that's why I don't have any.
You spend all my money there, here and there, so that I don't have any.
Huh?
No, that is not ridiculous. That's an answer. But I want you to think about the most ridiculous answer, because that's what they said. So who can open the page 47 and find out what the answer? You have a translated Quran? Quran translation?
Yes,
47?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So they said what? They say, shall we feed the ones...
Shall we feed him
who,
if Allah please, he could feed you or
you
not?
Yes. Shall we feed the ones whom that they should be fed by Allah? That they should have been fed by Allah. Basically, shall we do Allah's job? You know, to make it easy. So here is the ridiculous answer. Okay, spend from Allah, zakah from what Allah has given you. Why? If Allah wants to feed them, He would have fed them. See the answer? No, it's a job of Allah. I'm not doing it. If Allah wants to feed them, He should have fed him. Should have fed them Himself. Yeah, that's it. Put down your iPhone. So, you got it? You got to understand that? So, basically, what is so ridiculous about that? If you would be told that, if you go to the bad guys and tell them, spend from what Allah has given to you, and they say, what? You want us to do the job of Allah? If He wanted to feed him, if He wants to feed him, He should have fed him himself. He should have fed them himself. So, what would you say? Put down your pack bag and take notes. Okay. So, what would you say? Think about it. Think about it. Huh? What would you say? If you were told if you tell the bad guys to spend out of feed the poor and the needy, and they say, should we feed the ones if Allah wants, He should have fed them Himself, should have done the job of Allah? What would be your answer to that ridiculous thing? What would you say in response to this ridiculous answer?
What is that letter like next to them?
It's a comma.
Comma and then dots. So you say what? You say, they say, should we feed the ones that Allah, if He wanted, He should have fed them Himself. We would not do the job of Allah. So what would you say? Would you agree with them or disagree?
Disagree.
But how would you talk them out of this nonsense?
Huh? God created us so we could help people and do good.
Yeah, but he didn't feed those guys. He made those guys hungry. And He wants us to feed them. We were not doing His job. Huh?
Because Allah is testing the people who are hungry and the people who have
have the opportunity to feed them, but don't want to. He's testing to see if the hungry people will turn to Allah and thank Him and try to get food the right way by doing their part and then believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah is testing the other people to see if they will help those people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Perfect. This is an excellent answer. The answer is, we're not testing Allah. Does it take a genius to figure out that if Allah wants to feed the poor people, He can? Does it take a genius to figure it out? Anybody, genius or not genius, would figure out that Allah can feed the poor, right? So, but the question here is not about, we're not testing Allah. We're testing the rich guys and the poor guys. We're testing the what? Rich guys. So they are the ones who are being tested. And this is why Allah took, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will provide the shares of the poor, okay, to the rich. Allah will provide the shares of the poor to what? To the rich. Okay? So that they pay it, so that it becomes a test for them. Are you going to take the share that Allah has given you for the poor and give it to them? Or are you going to deny them? You got it? So who is being tested here? Who is being tested?
The rich and the poor.
Yeah. So what's wrong? Are we testing Allah?
No.
Does it take a genius to figure out that Allah can feed the poor by Himself?
No.
No. You got that? So that's the ridiculous answer. So we are testing you. You are the one who's being tested. We're not testing Allah. We know that Allah can do it. But you are the one, you are the ones that are being tested. This brings us to another issue, which is give silly, ridiculous answers. Silly is S-E or S-I.
S-I-L-L-Y.
Silly, ridiculous. Ridiculous, ridic. Ridic. Ridic, you. The first one?
Oh.
Ridiculous answers. Now, what gets people in trouble with Allah is not doing the sin. What gets people in trouble with Allah?
The ones that.
What gets people in trouble with Allah is the silly, ridiculous answers. Allah does not reply to the silly, ridiculous answers. This is why Allah did not reply in the Quran and said, "You dumb people, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that I can feed the poor and needy. But here, I'm not being tested. I can do it. I'm testing you if you will be able to do it, or if you want to do it." So Allah didn't answer. Allah does not answer any silly, ridiculous answer. Allah does not reply to any silly, ridiculous answer. You got that? So here, we come to the issue of responding with a silly, ridiculous answer. Silly, ridiculous answer. Okay, can you give me an example of somebody replying, a situation where somebody is replying and giving a silly, ridiculous answer to Allah? Think about it in the Quran. There is a situation where one of the creations of Allah gave a silly, ridiculous answer or silly, ridiculous response. And Allah did not even reply back. Allah just threw him in hell, doomed him to hellfire forever. Can you think of someone? Takbir, mashallah. You got to start today. Shaitan. What was the silly, ridiculous answer that the shaitan gave when Allah said, bow down to Adam?
No.
Bow down to someone who was made of clay when he was made of light.
Fire.
Fire. Good. That's a silly, ridiculous answer. Why? Because it doesn't take a genius to figure out that what's important is not your outside. What's important is your heart. What's important is your inside, the heart. Remember, we talked about that last time. What is important is the what? The gift or the box?
The box?
The box of the gift or the gift itself? The gift itself. That's more important, right? So the box here, Shaitan said, my box is created from fire. And his box is created from clay. Because fire is more precious and stronger than clay, then I should be better than him. So it's basically she's saying, oh, I have a good dress. Because I have a good dress, then I'm better than anyone who doesn't have a dress as good as me. It's like that. Shaitan is saying the dress, which is my body, the dress for my soul.
Or like here, saying Zendaya is better than One Direction. That's wrong.
She
no, she's not. One Direction is better.
Who? Hi.
Yes, what's that?
What do you mean?
The One Direction is better. I didn't get
One
that.
Direction is better.
She's a freak of women.
Shh. Look, One Direction is
better. Okay. So, shh. Back to quiet here. Back to quiet, please. So, basically, you know, the value, is it for the body or for the heart? The value of the person is in what? Or the creation. The value, is it in the heart or the body?
The heart.
So basically the shaitan says,
what did she say?
Like the shaitan. So it's saying, oh man. You say, huh? Like this. This is exactly what you did. Bow down to Adam. No, I'm not bowing down to him. I am better than him. You created him out of clay and you created me out of fire.
Huh? Did you see it?
What is the... Just a second. What is ridiculous about this answer? What is so ridiculous about this answer? Huh? Why this answer is ridiculous? Why this answer is ridiculous answer? Why? Huh? Why the answer is I'm created... I am created from fire. Go ahead.
Because the heart is most important, not what your body looks like or what you wear.
Takbir, mashallah. Because what is important is the body. What is important is the body. It's not what is important is not the body. What is important is what? Not the body. So what is the important part is the heart inside. So again, other than Zainab, who knows what is so ridiculous about his answer? Raise your left hand. Huh? What is so ridiculous about it? Zainab said it. I said it. Zainab repeated it.
Which Zainab?
Zainab Shukri.
Your heart is like more important than what your body.
Exactly. Perfect. And here's an answer here. So what is the answer? The answer is that the inside, okay, which is the heart, is better than the outside, which is the body. Got it? Okay. Now, in the day of judgment, the heart, the body will reflect the heart. There will be no difference in the day of judgment between your look and your heart. Got it? If you have an ugly heart, you will have ugly looks. If you have a good heart, you will have a good look. In this life, no. You can have an ugly person, but has a very good kind heart. And you can have a... And you can have a nice person who looks... Who looks ugly, and you can have a beautiful person that looks, that has this mean and irritating and self-centered. Hello? And self-centered. So we don't go by the look. Allah doesn't go by the looks. In the day of judgment, can you have a good heart and a bad body? An evil looking body or ugly looking body? Yes or no? Yes or no?
But you can have a good heart and a good body, right?
In the day of judgment, the day of judgment, will you have a body that's different from your heart?
No.
No. Now, in this life, would you have a body that's different from your heart?
Maybe, maybe
yes.
Not.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
That's the heart and the looks of the body are totally different in this life. Why? To allow you deception.
Some people are beautiful and have a good heart.
Yes, but I'm saying it, they are interrelated, the heart and the body. You know what I'm saying? In this life, the body and the heart, they don't match. Or they match. Allahu A'lam. There's no rule about that. Allah decides that He gives you good heart, good looking. The best is the good heart, good looking. That's the best person. The worst is bad heart, bad looking. That's the worst. Okay. Now, so here is the resistance. Who is the solution? Did Allah reply to this? Did Allah debate with him?
No.
Does Allah debate with both people who make silly, ridiculous answers?
No.
No. So Allah doomed him to hell. Allah said, you go to hell. You're going to hell. That's it. You're cursed. What's the meaning of curse? Curse means what?
You're cursed.
Huh?
Forever.
Curse means exclusion from the mercy of Allah. Exclusion from the mercy of Allah. So, if this circle is the mercy of Allah, you know the mercy of Allah will save a lot of people in the day of judgment. You can't believe how many people will be saved at the day of judgment because of the mercy of Allah. Here is the mercy of Allah. Mercy of Allah. Cursed means cursed. Means kicked out. If you are kicked out from the mercy of Allah, you're not getting to Jannah. Who gets to Jannah? No. If a person is doing very, very, very good deeds. Very good what?
Deeds.
Can he say to Allah, Ya Allah, I did very a lot of good deeds. Take me to Jannah. What is wrong about that? What do you know hadith about that? You remember hadith about that? The person who worshipped Allah all his life, and then when the day of judgment, when he met Allah, he said, Ya Allah, give me Jannah because I did so many good deeds. What happened? What was the response of Allah? Smart. Deep thinkers. Okay. The response of Allah was, first of all, Allah said, take this slave to Jannah because of my mercy. Because of my what? Mercy. So the slaves came, no, I go to Jannah because of my deeds. I did a lot of good deeds. So what was the response of Allah, if you remember? Okay. Allah said, okay, fine. Let's see what would your good deeds bring you. So Allah brought the scales of justice, orders the scale of justice to be brought. And you know Allah orders things. He doesn't, it's a royal by ordering. He can bring the glass, the scales himself. But as a royal king, he tells the servants, the angels, to bring it. So Allah puts the scales of justice. And here he puts 70 years of worship against, what do you think would be the other side? Favors of Allah, from Allah. So Allah told the angels, bring me the 70 days, 70 years of worship. Bring them. So they brought a lot of good deeds. Wow, 70 years of prayers, 70 years of hajj. They brought mountains worth of good deeds. The guy was really good. really good, lived his life all sincere to Allah, stayed away from all kinds of temptation. He was really good. So they brought mountains of good deeds and they put them here. Then Allah said to the angels, okay, put on the other side here the blessing of having eyes, vision, like you can see. So they put the blessing of having eyes on one side. Guess what happened? It tipped the whole scale. So just by being able to see, okay, that one was heavier than all these deeds. Then Allah said, fine, you know, let's put something less than that. Less important than vision, which is what? Hearing, right? If somebody tells you want to lose your sight or hearing, which one you chose?
Hearing.
You choose hearing. So Allah said, okay, how about hearing? Let's put the hearing on one side, and on the other side, let's put the deeds. Guess who wins?
The hearing.
The what?
Hearing.
Yes, the hear wins the favors, which is the sight. So at the end, Allah said, okay, take my slave to hellfire because of his deeds. So the guy, the good guy cried to Allah and said, Ya Allah, no, no, please, your mercy. So Allah repeated, okay, take this good deed, take this good guy to Jannah because of my mercy. So this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody will enter Jannah without the mercy of Allah. Without the mercy of Allah, nobody will enter Jannah. Why? Even me, the Prophet said, even me, I don't qualify to Jannah. Why? Because if you put the favors on Allah, if Allah is one side, Jannah, and then the your deeds on one side, the favors from Allah will over tip. That's why Sayyidina Sulaiman, you know Sayyidina Sulaiman, the king, Prophet Sulaiman, the king. What was special about Prophet Sulaiman?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with amazing powers, like that he could get the jinn to do what he wanted to, and then he could control the winds and speak to the animals.
That's right. So again, what was so special about Arhab? What was so special about Prophet Sulaiman? How about here? What was so special about Prophet Sulaiman? How about here?
He had the power to control the winds, control the jinn, and control the animals.
That's right. So, here, Zaina, what's the so special about Prophet Sulaiman? Exactly. So, Prophet Sulaiman used to say to Allah, Ya Allah, how could I thank you for my worship to you? Like, he prayed to Allah, and then he said, Ya Allah, thank you for guiding me to pray. How can I thank you for praying to you? If thanking you is a favor from you, when Allah helps you thank, then it's a favor from who? Allah. And this favor of thanking you requires another thanking. So then this other thanking is another favor from you that requires thanking again, which is a third favor from you, which requires thanking again, which is a fourth favor from you, which requires thanking again. So you keep going. Anytime you say Alhamdulillah, isn't that blessing from Allah? Who gets the credit for saying Alhamdulillah? You or Allah? Allah. But because Allah is out there looking for reasons to give us Jannah, Allah is out there to set traps for us, right? That's not true. So what is true, Arhab? Arfan, what is true? Allah is out there to set traps for us? No. Allah is out there to look for reasons to give us what? Jannah. So he says, okay, even though I am the one who gets the credit for you saying Alhamdulillah, but I will reward you for it out of my mercy. So the bottom line here that brought us into the subject is that if you're cursed from the mercy of Allah, you're not going to Jannah. So now the shaitan, when he gave a silly, ridiculous answer, Allah told him that you are cursed. You are cursed. That's it. And there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm not sure if this hadith is authentic or not, but I will say it anyway, that says that when two believers, one of them curse the other, one of them has to go to hell. The curse has to land on one of them. So if two believers, one of them curse the other, if the other are the ones who did the awful thing that made the first one curse, then it lands on the other. You know, if we have two people, one and two. One curses two. Then one of them is cursed. It's either two, if he's the one who deserves the curse, or one, if he's the one that deserves the curse. So don't curse somebody by saying, may Allah curse you, because that is really bad. It's either you or him will be cursed at that point. All right, so Shaitan gave silly, ridiculous answer. Allah turned down this ridiculous answer. Now, be careful. We have two, based on that, we have two kinds of sins. We have how many kinds of sins? Two. Sins have two kinds. One is forgivable, and one is not forgivable. Okay, think of somebody else who made a mistake and Allah forgave him at the same time, like the time of Shaitan and Adam. Who made a mistake at that time, if you remember? Huh? Adam and Eve, mashallah, they made a mistake. What was that mistake, Arhab? That's right. They made a mistake of what? Ate from what? Eating from the tree, right? Yeah. Then, were they forgiven or cursed?
Forgiven.
Then, hey, hello. Is it double standards? Adam makes a mistake, and this mistake is forgiven. And Shaitan makes a mistake, and this mistake is not forgiven. It's not what? It's not forgiven. It's not what?
Forgiven.
Now, what's the reason? Is it double standards? Think about it. Is it double standards from Allah? Allah has double standards, right or wrong? Deep thinkers. Deep thinkers. Allah has double standards. Because He forgave Adam and Eve, but He did not forgive the shaitan. Yes, true or false? True or false?
True.
True. Why this is true? So Allah has double standards.
It wasn't their fault that they ate it.
So what is the true statement? Allah does have double standards. Like Allah discriminates. So when Adam does a mistake, he's forgiven. When Shaitan makes a mistake, he's not forgiven? Huh? No. So then what is it? How can you reply to this? How could you reply to this? That Adam was forgiven, Shaitan wasn't. Huh?
Because Adam is a prophet.
No.
Okay.
Huh?
Because they repented and begged for his forgiveness while Shaitan did no such thing.
Takbir. MashaAllah, you are a star today. MashaAllah. Because forgivable, because they cried for mercy. They, I mean, Adam and Eve. And this one is not because Shaitan gave a what? Because Shaitan gave ridiculous ridiculous answers. You got the difference now? So teach yourself. You're not taking notes. So teach yourself one thing that's really keep it in your mind. What is that thing? When you make a mistake, you can make it, you can cry for forgiveness, Allah forgives you, or you can make silly, ridiculous answers.
And you can just like let it
go. Huh?
You can just let it go.
Yeah. You got it? So a lot of people, like for example, I'll just give you an examples of silly, ridiculous answers that I've witnessed today. Okay. There is that lady who's not wearing hijab. Then the imam tells her of the masjid, sister, you have to wear hijab. She tells him, imam, the hijab is here in my heart. I have the hijab in my heart. So that's a silly, ridiculous answer. Well, how would you reply to this answer?
You're wrong.
Yeah, but why?
Let me check.
Huh? Yeah, because the sheikh said this, sister, take it from here and put it on here. Take it out of here, which is out of the heart, and put it where?
On your head.
So what did he say, Zainab?
He said, take it out of your heart and put it on your head.
Put it on your head. Okay? So that is it. Now, why did the sheikh, the imam, reply to the silly, ridiculous answer? But Allah doesn't. Allah does not reply to silly, ridiculous answers. You make a silly, ridiculous answer to Allah, you're doomed. You're doomed just like the shaitan. So, there is this guy, this Muslim guy who's having a girlfriend. And then his fellow Muslims said, it's haram to have girlfriend.
Wait, why is it haram to have a boyfriend?
That's a very basic question. You can ask your parents about it. They will answer very well. Just make sure you're not slaughtered. They slaughter you if you say that. Because that's an awful thing. That's an awful thing. That's beyond even.
My parents probably wouldn't answer that.
You can't have a girlfriend if they're inside of you.
Okay, hold on. Let's not get into that. So this guy, when he was told, no, you can't have a girlfriend because it's haram, he replied and he said, well, all my deeds are good and it's the only bad deed I'm doing. Do you understand? You understand what he said? He said what?
You have to go on a date, right?
He said what?
I have another question. Wait.
He said, it's the only wrong thing I'm doing. It's the only what? Wrong thing I'm doing. So I'm okay.
What? Ridiculous answer. Wait, how do you get married if you don't go on a date? Like,
let's, in 5 minutes, the class will end. I'm going to explain to you. You get married, okay? You don't want to be married based on somebody who selects you when you're not wearing hijab. You want a righteous person who will value the hijab. That's first. Second, not wearing hijab would chase away righteous guys. So you're, first of all, the first harm you do to yourself, the first harm that you do to yourself is that all righteous guys who take their religion seriously are not going to be interested in you.
What if
you? Who are going to be interested in you? Guys who don't care about hijab, so they are not taking the religion seriously.
I have a question.
So that is the first thing. Second thing, when you go with your parents to visit friends and things like that. How did your parents marry? Did they date before they marry?
I don't know.
No, they didn't.
How do you get married?
How am I supposed to know that?
Oh, I have a question.
Just ask them.
What if a Muslim,
how would they lie?
What if a Muslim man wants to marry a girl wearing hijab and then she takes her hijab off, he doesn't want to marry her?
This is ridiculous. Now let me finish answering this. When you go out with your parents, okay, to visit friends and things like that, and when you come to the masjid and be active, you will be seen, and you will be visible to people if they are interested in you. Also, there is another matching website where you put your name and the picture and description. And they also MCA here does matching, where boys and girls sit on a table, one boy, one girl, one sheikh sit on the table. They have to have a sheikh because they can't be alone. So that's another idea.
Well,
now, how did I get married? You know how did I get married? I got married for a very simple reason. Because Allah wants me to marry my wife right now. Allah made my aunt works with her mother in the same company. Okay? So now they meet each other. Now my daughter comes, goes to her mom in his workplace. My aunt sees her. So the next thing, my dad and I say, I'm looking for a wife to marry. So here we go. So my aunt said, I have a wife for him. I have a good one. My aunt is like the matching software, or like the matching website. My aunt. My aunt.
Oh, like mix and match the game?
Yeah, so she was, you know, there are so many ladies that will do that. We call them the matching ladies. The matching ladies that tells boys about girls. Okay? Hello? So then I went to her family. With my family, we went to visit her family at home. Asking for the first opportunity. For the first opportunity to see my wife. Shh. So I saw her for the first time. So now we both agreed to take it to the next step.
Let's get married, boo.
We both agreed to take it to this next step. What's the next step? Which is engagement.
Yeah, but how do you know the personality of the guy? You don't go.
I'm coming to you if you just be patient. Yeah. So the next step, I am closer to her. So after the after engaging her, then we can have more. We can get closer and we can talk more.
Oh.
Okay. So you talk. The most important thing is that we want both heads to match. The heads. Like you both are thinking.
On the same page?
Same page, exactly. So now, here we go. Shh. Now here we go. You have an opportunity. What I did, I was engaged for 1 year with my wife. So we had, during this year, we have known each other very well. Okay? We know our brains. Right now we're talking about the brains. So then we both agreed to move to the third step. What's the third step?
I don't
want to
know.
Yeah, write the contract of marriage. Writing the contract of marriage.
Oh, with the sheikh?
Yes. Writing it does not mean, in Egypt, does not mean that she moves into my house. No, not yet. So by writing the contract of marriage, she can take off her hijab. She can take off her hijab when I'm present. She can basically... We're husband and almost husband and a wife. But we want to make sure that you first, both of you, agree to the next step. The next step is wedding. Okay? Now, so we stayed, me and my wife stayed like that for 1 year. 1 year with the contract of marriage. So that gives me a lot of opportunity to see her without hijab, to go out with her without a third person being with us. And it gave me all these opportunities. So now, after this, we got very close to each other. Guess what happened?
Baby.
No, not yet. We went into wedding. So you have to, first, you have to what? You have to make sure the what? Don't be stupid. You have to make sure when you are looking for a husband or a wife, you need to make sure that the brains what?
Connect.
Yes. The brains are compatible. Then you need to talk, and you need to give opinions, and you need to argue. You need to go through all of these together. Okay? So if the brains don't fit together, then don't proceed.
Divorce.
Not divorce. Not yet.
You're not even married yet. How are you going to get divorced?
Now, you ask me why is that?
Oh, wow.
Because you want to make sure that you both want to proceed in the marriage. Before you get the children. Because if you get the children now, it becomes really very difficult. Okay? All right. Now, Salaam alaikum, Zainab, stay because I want to stream you for the.
Okay. Stop.